Welcome to Feytera. I'm Aurora Feytera, and Feytera is a place where we look into the myths of all times and use it to support our modern day. It's a place where we believe in the magical aspects of life to help us expand our points of view. And so today I'm going to talk a little about marriage. Background on where we are today is that people are afraid of marriage because for the last thousands of years, we've been in a phase in which marriage is really based on ownership and control. It really was trading a property. And the dysfunction in marriage is carried out today. And so a lot of alternative community has decided, well, if we don't get married, we don't have to deal with that dysfunction. If we just open up our relationships, then we don't have to feel controlled. So the purpose of this audio is to talk about why containers matter and how we can reprogram marriage into something that is beautiful. So marriage is based on what we call the sun and the moon coming together. In Egypt, they had the Ankh, and there's the circle and the line. And the circle and the line of the Ankh, which they say that the Ankh represents eternal life. It's like when you look at the top of the Om, there's that circle and a dot on top, and that represents that oneness consciousness. When the circle and line comes together, you become the expanse of everything, but it must be balanced. And the sun and the moon, which is kind of like the circle and the line in paganism, they say that women are connected to the moon, and women, so you know that humans are like 70% water, I believe, that moon affects our water for men and women, but women's wombs are mostly water, in my personal opinion, right? We bleed, and we bleed according to the moon, and we cycle according to the moon. And because we're cycling so often as women, it is the sun, it is men who hold that container. In paganism, they say that men's codes, their knight codes, which we've lost, those hero's codes, those warrior codes, is to protect, provide, and support for the women who are giving birth to babies. For the women who are bleeding every month, for the women who are doing that work, that transformational work all the time, it's the men who hold it. And that's why we were designed in different bodies. Now, that doesn't mean that a woman can't have a more fierce and linear personality and a man can't be more fluid and feminine in his personality. Something to do with your personality. It just has to do with our hormonal design. It also has to do with our biology. It has to do with brain functioning. There's been books written on the differences in a woman's brain and a male's brain. They're different. Now, I know that I'm probably throwing some people off who are lesbian, who are in homosexual relationships in general, people who are gender fluid. I'm just sharing with you the myths. This is not a critique on the expansiveness of what's possible in this world. But for those of you who are in a marriage in which you are playing on feminine and masculine polarity, in which you are in a space where you as a woman or whatever, if you're living in polarity, if you're choosing to do that, these myths are really beautiful. And that's where marriage stems from. Marriage comes from polarity coming together to birth and alchemize into something new. It's the fusion of opposites. You know, all things, this polarity, this, like, if you look at physics, polar opposites are drawn to each other. That's what creates life, that creates child, right? I wish I knew more about physics because I can feel it in my body that there are things all around us, just like mitosis, merging and dividing. It's this polarity of opposites coming together, merging into something else that creates life, the spark of light. And so I brought up Sumeria for other reasons because I was talking to my husband about when things changed. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, the goddesses like Inanna, you know, they didn't have marriage the way that they do now, but not even later on. It was later when Isis and Osiris and Mary Magdalene and Yeshua came and introduced these alchemies for marriage that were about transmutation and transformation, that were about two sovereign people coming together and merging and creating something new that's more powerful than they could ever be on their own. I think before that, the idea was to just, like, the ultimate ideal is to just be sovereign in yourself and to love your community, to love your family, to love your partner. I think that what was introduced to us through Mary Magdalene and Yeshua, Isis and Osiris, these alchemical marriages, is a deep magic. It's a very profound magic. And honestly, most of us don't know how to navigate it. I think the myths and the mystery of that has been lost, but we are reclaiming that. And I believe the first key is women remembering their power as women and their voice and their ownership of their body and their sexuality, and then being willing to transform, and men too. To men to go through their walkabouts and their hero's journeys, to go through their prince, king, you know, and to when they want to get married. When a man desires to get married, he must also desire to protect, provide, and support. I'm saying that because I feel it's true, and I don't believe that men are willing to hold that container as much as they should because of how they saw their fathers protect, provide, and support. And it was something that they want to rebel against because it was perverse. But in going into the artistic flow where no one's holding container for each other, no one's actually alchemizing and no one's really birthing into who it is they're meant to be. And as they transform, roles are confused, people get stressed out. And why it is that men protect, provide, and support is because they have the cock. Because they're not hormonal and shifting all the time. Because they're not birthing the baby. Because women are holding so much. Our extrasensory perception is immense. Look into the biology of it. And it is an honor for a man to protect his wife and child. It is an honor. It is warrior codes. It is what allows a man to feel his strength and his truth. And when you take that away from him, he always feels lost. And that's what I've just seen. If you don't resonate with this, that's beautiful, that's fine. If you do, then it's time for you as a man to pick up your sword and to own your inner warrior. And for women, it's for women to own our inner power and to recognize the power and the fact that we are cyclical, that we are always changing, that we hold the world in our wombs, the cosmos. We're connected to the cosmos. They say the cosmos are in our belly. And what that means is that we feel everyone. When they say that we hold the cosmos in our belly, it means that we feel the map. Like if you studied astrology, they say that our life map is in the stars. It's written in the stars. And that same life map is mirrored in your own womb. You're holding everyone. That's why they say that when we bleed, and again, I host the Red Tent for a very long time, which is where we also learn our menstrual blood mysteries, the power of our blood and our shadow and our transformation and all of that. But when we bleed, it's not just for ourselves, it's for everyone. And that's why we play in polarity, to support each other. When you choose to be married, it's a choice to choose a container to alchemize in. And what scares me when I share these codes is that there are so many people, so they just want to be married to anybody. They want to have babies, you know, especially around 30. That's what I've seen. I mean, people have babies much earlier than that, but there's this thing. If you still haven't had a baby at 30, they want anybody. And where's the line? It's going to be hard in your marriage. You're here to transform. You're here to transmute. You're here to heal, right? And to hold it down. That's a container. But how far does that go? And only you can determine that. I can't help you. You can have, you know, a session with me or Adam, and we can help you determine that. But really, we're just mirroring you back to yourself. Where is that line? It scares me to say, you know, hold the container, and because you're transmuting and transforming to alchemize, and the shit's going to come up. You know, it scares me that people would be in it too long. In paganism, we get married for a year and a day. And I really love this because you get married at Beltane. Beltane is in May, and it's when the world is so juicy and animals are birthing babies, and all you want to do is be in union. Then it's a commitment, though. You get bound, you get handfasted, which is a rope that ties your hands together. And it's a commitment that you will not break your union for a year and a day. Now, this is different than I will marry you forever. But what's so cool about it is that today there are people getting married forever in our Western ideals, and then 3 months later getting divorced. Now, paganism says, stay in it for a year and a day, and if you want to renew your vows, please do so after a year and a day. But here's what's awesome about it. So you get married at Beltane, and then you go into the winter months. Winter months is like scorpionic. It's transformation. It's those months of October, November, December is when the world goes cold and it goes dark. And that's where the earth does its work. And since we are a reflection of the earth, that's when we do our deep work to renew for the new year. Relationships get really hard around that time. Actually, I was talking to a friend, you know, Samhain, which is Halloween. Beltane and Samhain are when the veils are the thinnest. And that is when we can feel. So at Beltane, that's when the new babies come in. The veils are thin from the other world, right? Samhain is when the ancestors cross over. So my friend was saying that at Samhain, actually, it's very hard to be in your relationship, or things get hard because you can feel your ancestors' opinions on everything. You're right. Just the amount that we hold as extra sensitives, all right? If you have to be magical to listen to this, to this audio, but I believe there are a lot of us extra sensitives who have no idea what the hell's going on. When the veils are thin, you're feeling everyone's perspectives on your marriage, and they're in your head. Anyway, so the work goes dark, and we're all doing our personal work, right? And it's saying, do not break your container. Go through it. Go through it and at least commit to the next Beltane when the world is juicy again. If you want to break up when the world is juicy, then okay. Release your vows. Uncord yourself. Honor your union and your container. Thank you so much, and go your separate ways. Or you can renew your vows and go through it all over again for another year and a day. That's beautiful. And I think marriage is like that. It's, you have to understand the commitment of that alchemy. You have to understand the commitment of doing that transformation work. That's what marriage is, and coming together to create new life. But no, don't be in it too long. If it's detrimental, please uncord. Right? If you lose your sovereignty in this, if you start going into old models that are terrible and you can't get out, you know, patriarchal or just old models, then uncord. But you have to know that when you're in marriage, you have to commit to it. And I'm saying this all, it's like radical. Like what I'm saying is radical, even though it's what we've been doing throughout time. It's radical right now because what we're doing in romantic relationship is introducing polyamory and all kinds of alternative ways of being in relationship. And I actually think polyamory is beautiful. I think that romantic relationship in general is like a spiral. It's an endless growth path, which sometimes polyamory is what's most healing for us. But that's not what you're choosing when you choose to be in marriage. So you have to understand the difference in boundaries. At least that's what I believe. Keep it clean. Keep it clear. Know what you're choosing. Getting married and opening up the relationship and being with lots of people, I mean, well, basically, you're creating your own definition, and that's beautiful. But I don't know that you're going to be able to do the tantra. I don't know if you're actually going to be able to merge and move into that next phase of yourselves. Because tantra is a full cording. It's a full binding. It's a opening up each chakra with each other, merging each other's souls. It's a fusing, and it's a lot of fucking work. And I just don't see anyone doing it, really, in poly. And you don't have to. We can all make our own rules here, but I am doing it. I am choosing it because I believe in my growth path. I believe in the journey down into the underworld to transform. I believe that this is the only way Adam and I can transmute the pain from my past lovers, the pain from my mother and father. We have to hold a container to do the deep work. I want to share that I was actually polyamorous for 10 years before I was with Adam, and now we're in a monogamous container. And I think that it's important for me to share some of my views of how open relationship was really good for me and closed relationship is also good for me. And it really depends. Adam and I are wanting to have a child, and so we closed it down so that we could really focus. A friend of mine who is in a monogamous relationship, she has 5 babies, and she was polyamorous before too. She believes that polyamory is a gateway to monogamy, and then monogamy is a gateway to polyamory, you know, and it's a spiral, depending on, yeah, what's going on in your growth path. But I want you to just know that, like, if you are really in that phase of your life where you are merging to create new life, if you are doing that healing work, it's important to close it down. And that's what I would call marriage, the fusion of opposites to alchemize. That's what marriage is. The rest is just romantic partnerships. Okay, that's my personal opinion. I hope you're able to follow that whole rant. I don't even know if it was a rant. It's just explaining the differences. And if you choose to go into marriage, you know, Adam and I created our own alternative marriage. And we had a Tantra Puja, which is an adoration ceremony where we worshipped each other. And then we went into the red tent, when, again, I already told you, the menstrual hut. And we spoke about the journey of marriage in which the woman goes into the underworld every month in her blood time, in her PMS, and the man holds that container for her. But it's a metaphor for alchemy as man and women. And so at our marriage ceremony, I danced for Adam the dance of Inanna. And I was swirling my hips and, you know, just dancing my full vibrance as a woman and all that I feel. And Adam was down on his knees and he was holding that container. That's marriage. That's the sun and the moon. That's the chalice and the blade. That's the circle and the line on the ankh, right? Like this, these symbols have been here forever as a map for life.